We're on page number 63 is where we are, and we're studying the tabernacle, the different, what does the tabernacle stand for? We got to get that down. What does the tabernacle stand for? What is the primary interpretation, or the skia, the shadow, what does it shadow?
Christ coming in the flesh.
Christ in the flesh. This is the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the tabernacle is about. It's about the person of Jesus. All right? The person of Jesus. All right. We got some goodies over there, Brother Dr. John. We got some goodies over there. All right. We're on page number 63. And under the labor there, Exodus 30, 17 through 21. And we read some of this last week. Let's go back and read it for this class. Exodus 30, 17 through 21. Who is over there? Any of you Davids? Bill?
Exodus 30, 17 through 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for worship. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar."
I disagree with that. It's for dipping. For dipping.
Oh, for dipping. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you put water, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations.
All right. The consequences are what? Yeah. What's the consequence? The penal judgment is death. The dead, this, or die. So this is very important, isn't it? What does a labor represent? What does a labor represent?
Blood of Jesus Christ. I'm picking a wild shot here,
boy. Oh, okay, brother.
I think the cleansing of the water of the Word of God.
Yeah, it's the cleansing of the water, but what all the labor actually represents the whole gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All right? The death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 on. Let's go and see what the gospel is. In the labor itself, it represents the whole gospel. All right? The coming of the Lord. What does Jehovah, the root of the Jehovah, what is that? Where is it found in the Old Testament? In the book of Genesis. It's there in the first chapter of Genesis. Where is it found, the root of the name Jehovah? What does Jehovah mean? The one who shall become. The one who shall become. All right? It says, in beginnings created Elohim the heavens and the earth she became. There is your word right there. The very first use of the root of Jehovah right there. The earth she became. Formless and void, okay? The word became there is the root of Jehovah, the one who shall become. Where is the Jehovah title fulfilled in the New Testament? John 1:14. And the word, the name, or the word, Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among us. There it is. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Dr. John, are you there?
One verse.
Starting with verse 1.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach.
Hold on right there. Now, in Corinthians, the Corinthian letter, almost all the New Testament books are church letters, by the way. To visible, local, New Testament churches, okay? In that area, all right? They are church letters. The whole New Testament is church letters, so the church could pass it out through the whole church age, okay? Now, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and they got messed up, didn't they? They were really goofed up in a lot of ways. Paul said, I need to tell you again what the gospel was. So, he's going to tell them and recite to them what the gospel is. Because some of them had Really, I don't think some of them had even believed. I think they just went along with the crowd. How many of you know boyfriend and girlfriend religions and husband and wife religion? You know what I'm talking about, Sister Andino. That's when somebody just goes forward and joins the church because they got a girlfriend here or going to have a wife here, and they just go forward. That's it. There wasn't anything really happened there. You have to be careful about that. If you're a girl or a guy, you need to find one that's already there and already founded. Brother, Dr. Jaw, now we have the gospel is what he's talking about.
I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Okay, there's number one. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All right? Christ. What is that in Hebrew? Is Christos in Greek? You know that, brother.
Right. In Hebrew, it's Mashiach.
Yeah, Mashiach. It's the anointed one. All right? Who was God going to anoint to be the Messiah? Basically, Himself. God was going to come and be our Redeemer, not somebody else. He wasn't going to send somebody. God loved His creation so much that He gave His only begotten Son, which is a part of Him. All right? Okay, Dr. John, going a little further now.
And then He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Caiaphas, then by the 12.
All right. He was seen. He was seen by all these. In other words, this is testified to, okay? Now let's go back to the labor and look at the labor now, because this represents the whole gospel, is what it's talking about, the labor. When you're baptized by the order of a New Testament church now, what does that baptism represent? First of all, who gets baptized?
A believer.
Believers get baptized. They've already been saved. Okay? And then you put on Christ publicly in baptism. Okay? That's what you do. Go forward. And what when you are baptized, what is it a picture of? Now let me tell you a little something. If you're rantizoed, what does that mean? Sprinkled. If you're niptoed, poured on you, I want you to understand, what does this baptism represent? The death and burial and resurrection. Now, you don't go out and sprinkle a little dirt on somebody when you get ready to bury them. You don't go and pour a little dirt on them. You bury them under the dirt. You don't leave a hand out. When I take them and bury them, I bury them deep. How many of you ever seen me baptize somebody? Huh? Sometimes I take them to the bottom of the baptistry if they start sticking their hands in there, don't I? And testify they go to the bottom. And so do I. Until they're all down there. All of it. Yeah, I baptized the microphone one time. Down there. They're buried. Okay? I remember one time one of my former church members, she plays the flute in the orchestra up there. I baptized Sister Rosalie. Remember Rosalie Treviso when I baptized her? She started sticking her hands in the air and I just went on down to the bottom with her till I got it all under the water. Like what?
Did bubbles start coming out?
Yeah. Anyway, I went there, and Leslie came up there, and she said, Brother Fields, she said, that's the way you baptize somebody. You don't leave half of them out. It's a burial. All right? Because it's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you're not baptized to get saved. All right? You're baptized because you are saved. But it typifies, Brother Jim.
I have a question. You made a few comments in the last week and this week. Is it your belief that the labor was like a mikvah where they actually went all the way down in there? Of course, they got their...
One time, yes. The first time they were baptized.
I'm talking about the labor here.
Yes.
Itself. You think the priests actually went all the way down in there?
I believe they...
Because at the temple, I know, because I saw stuff, that you had to walk down into a mikvah, and they didn't even give you a handle because they didn't want you to become unclean.
Yeah.
And then you had to walk up all the stairs.
Yeah.
Before you even went into the holy place.
Yeah. Later on, they had a bigger one, even yet. But this one was big enough to immerse you, mergio, you know, from Balto. We studied that last Wednesday night. I think we studied baptism a little bit. But they actually dipped them. And then every time they went back in there, they had to wash their hands and their feet again. And that's talking about the washing of the Word, okay? And, of course, who is the Word? Jesus. Who cleanses you every day? It's a continuous cleansing, all right? Let's go on a little further now. We studied Exodus 30:17-21. Did you finish the 1 Corinthians 15? Okay, we did that. We know that this labor is talking about the person of Jesus Christ, the whole gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. I do make a lot of corrections in this thing, as you can see, and add a little thing to it. This was my own book that I was studying from. You know, we studied this in the seminary way back then, and I wrote a lot of things in and marked some things out and corrected a little bit. But I wasn't going to really copy it then. Then I said, well, I guess I ought to copy this. And I didn't want to retype it all. So I just, you got all the corrections and all the scribbling too. Okay. It stood between the altar and the tabernacle. All right. I need to turn this thing around just a little bit here so you can see it. Maybe. All right. Maybe you can look up here and see it. Here is the font of the laver right there. It's made out of brass. Okay? Made out of brass. It was good. It was made out of brass. And brass stands for what in the Bible? What's it stand for? Judgment. All right? The judgment of God. The gospel is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, that God became flesh and that He died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried according to the Scriptures, and that He was raised according to the Scriptures, wasn't He? All right. And the brass was supplied by the gifts of the women. It said, it says in some of the Jewish tradition that women, how many of you women looked in a mirror today? Did you do that, sister?
You must have,
yeah. Did you look in a mirror? All right. All you girls looked in the mirror this morning?
Several times.
All right. Well, these women they didn't have mirrors like you have today. They had a piece of brass, and it was polished to where you could see yourself in it. Okay? And they say that they took their looking glasses. It was some of them were fancy. If you've ever seen some of the ancient looking glasses, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 years ago, you'll see it's either silver or it's brass. And it's polished to where you could see enough reflection in it. And that's what these mirrors were. So they took their mirrors and gave their mirrors, donated the mirrors. Now, a mirror is real important to a woman, I'm telling you. It is, isn't it, girl? You want to see how you look where you go out. You want to put yourself back in cosmos. Back in order, cosmetic, you know.
Oh,
cosmetic.
Yeah, you can say it again. I didn't hear a single word.
And guys, you probably do the same thing too. There, guys spend as much time in front of the mirror nowadays as girls do.
Only when I comb my hair.
Yeah. You want to see what you look like? Mirrors. So they gave something that was very important to them, their mirrors. Okay? So they could build this labor. Okay? The women gave up their mirrors. The mirrors were made out of brass. And number three, the women are, it was like a reservoir that was there for washing by water, or actually dipping in water, literally, and then they washed with the water later. Okay? But they dipped to begin with. And actually, they even dipped their hands in there when they washed them anyway. All right? And their feet. All right, Brother Bill.
Jim, didn't you say before they went in there that they had to complete, go and be completely dipped under worship and not dipped.
When they were dedicated as a priest in their priestly office, they were dipped.
Yeah, and then
every time they went in to serve, they had to wash their hands and their feet.
Yeah, that's after they were washed and then put on their priestly garments.
Yes.
Yeah, then they went in and then they were dipped.
Yeah.
Okay, just keeping them straight.
Uh-huh. All right. It says it speaks of cleansing, Ephesians 5:26 and Titus 3:5. Let's go there. Ephesians 5:26 and Titus 3:5. Let's look at those verses. Young lady, have you got used to that new Bible yet?
No.
Okay. I didn't know whether you could go to one of these places or because I'm going to tell you something. Who's got an Amplified Bible today? Anybody got an Amplified Bible? Only one of them here. Okay.
Yeah,
that's tough. No. It's like... I'm going to tell you something. Using the Bible is like riding somebody else's horse. When you get on somebody else's horse, a guy loaned me a horse named Kmart here a few years ago. And I had had that cancer surgery, and they'd cut my guts out, basically, and stapled me all back together, and my legs never worked since because they did a lot of stapling through the nerves that went down to my feet and my legs, and I never could make my feet work exactly right. And they didn't give me any physical therapy later to stretch and everything, but I couldn't make my feet go exactly like I did before. If people saw me move like I did before the surgery and after surgery, it's different. Okay? I got on that horse. Now, Al Bell told me, he said that horse never bucked. That's what he told me. I got on that horse, and getting on him was hard because getting my leg up there, I couldn't throw my legs out. So I got on this horse out there, and I got old Kmart and turned him loose, and that horse bucked for 200 yards with me. Boy, I felt all those things tearing loose everywhere, stretching. Boy, I mean, busted everything loose. But you know what? I could walk better later. But you don't trust somebody else's horse. You don't. Want your own Bible, don't you, Brother Rex? Your own Bible, because you're used to that. You get it broke in. You get it bucked out. Brother Rex, what have you got? Ephesians 5:26? Are you there? Ephesians 5 and Titus 3:5? Yeah, Ephesians. Are you over there in anything, Brother Jim? Okay, all right. Well, let's get the first one here.
5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word.
All right, he's talking about his church, his churches. Ephesians 5, the book of Ephesians is what? It's not to the church at Ephesus, is it? That's a surprise to some of you, maybe.
It's a circular letter.
It's a circular letter. It's a circular letter to all the churches, okay? But it is a church letter. But it's a circular letter to all the churches.
You mean for Christians that are running in circles?
Yeah, that's what you call ambitious.
Uh-huh.
Run around circles, that's what ambitious means. Abounding and running around circles. All right, Titus 3:5. Now, who's got that?
No.
Brother Randall.
He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit.
All right, the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. All right. Now the mirrors here were symbolized as the looking glass of the Word of God, basically. And the threefold message is, and I changed it, is to the death of Christ. When you're dipped, when you're baptized, dipped, okay, I like to call John the Dipper. All right, John the Dipper. He dipped people. He immersed people. John the Immerser. All right. And that's what it says in that. Have you got that Bible with you today, brother? Yeah, that's what it says in there, doesn't it? All right. We are immersed, all right, when we're baptized. And that typifies his death, okay? And burial. And then resurrection. Jesus stayed buried for a while, didn't he? Basically 3 days. Just like he said, I will... When the Pharisees asked a sign from him, he said, I won't give you any sign, but what? The sign of Jonah. And I've heard so many people say, well, Jonah could have lived in the whale's belly or a great fish's belly. You know, people have done that for 3 days and everything else. Maybe they did. But Jonah was dead. in that whale's belly. We studied that before. He cried out from Sheol, not from the belly of the whale. His body was in the belly of the whale, okay? Well, Jesus' body was dead in the grave for 3 days. Simple as that. It was in that grave, just like Jonah was dead for 3 days. And then he was resurrected. The burial, and then the resurrection. The threefold message, the death, burial, and resurrection. That whole tabernacle stands for the person of Jesus Christ and the gospel. What is the gospel? Was the good news. Was the law good news?
No.
Everything in it was a curse. All right, a curse. We have come to the labor for regeneration and sanctification, he says here. Well, we come to the labor looking to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we do. Now let's go to the candlestick number 9. Exodus 25, 31 through 40. Exodus 25, 31 through 40. Are you there? Who's there in Exodus 25, 31 through 40? Brother David. David.
31?
Yes. David. What is your last name?
Bratcher.
David Bratcher. I got several Davids in here. I remember David Ash over there. I couldn't think of your last name.
Okay, then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bowls, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And 6 branches shall go out from its sides. 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from its other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bowl and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bowl and a flower, so for 6 branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bowl and its flower. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, and 6 branches coming out of the lampstand.
What does the lampstand stand for in the tabernacle? God, the Son, and all reality. We see His work through the Holy Spirit. Did the Holy Spirit work through Jesus? Does it work through Jesus? Does it? All right. It does. What does the lampstand provide?
Light.
Light. All right. It provides light. Now, also, it keeps talking about 6 lamps. 666. What is the number 6 in the Bible? Man. Did God become man in the person of Jesus Christ? John 1:14. You know, if someone does not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, you've got to throw away about 90% of the Bible. You've got to throw away all of the types, all of the shadows, because it all teaches the same story, doesn't it? All right? Now let's go back to the book of Genesis. All right? Go back to the book of Genesis. Let's look at it just a little bit. The first chapter. The first chapter.
In the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning of the beginnings. In the beginning of the beginnings. Okay? Let's look at it. You're going to get used to hearing this in Hebrew anyway. Barashit means what? In beginnings. All right? Bara. Created and brought completely to a finish, that's perfect tense, okay? Elohim. Elohim is what?
God.
That's the name of God for the triune God. That's the creator, the whole creator. In Colossians, the first chapter, will tell you who was doing the physical creating there. Jesus Christ. Who holds it all together? Jesus Christ. But the whole Trinity did it too, didn't they? Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? The Father? The Father? Who else?
Spirit.
The Spirit? Who else? Jesus Himself. So we have the triune God working in the resurrection. All right. Who tasted death on the cross of Calvary? The triune God. Do you think that God ever did anything without everybody being involved in it? Could you ever do anything without your whole triune nature being involved? Of course not. Elohim et Hashemayim, all right? Et, sign of the direct object, okay? Hashemayim means here, actually it means the whole universe, the cosmos, okay? We et Haaretz, all right? The earth. God created the whole universe and then put the earth in exactly the right place. That's beautiful to me. Put the earth in exactly the right place. The earth cannot be off. It would burn up, freeze up. Wouldn't be right if it wasn't in the right place, okay? And then it says, the Haaretz and the earth, Tahya, she became. And then it says, Tohu, that means desolation, Vavohu, and waste, and Wishak. What does Wishak mean? Darkness. Darkness. We shock. And darkness is what it actually means. Shock. All right? Darkness upon El Pene Tahom, upon the faces of the deep, the abyss. All right? It became an abyss, didn't it? All right? And then it says here, Ruach, Spirit, Elohim, God. It was brooding over, hovering over, the faces of the abyss, and then it said, and Spirit God, and then it says, of the waters, and then said God, let light, let become light. You know, when you're lost in this world, you're living in darkness. Did you know that? You're living in darkness. You are living in darkness. All right? Vihior, all right? Let become light. And then it says, and became light. Became light. Now, in that first room there, in the tabernacle, that's called the Kadash, or the holy place, there is a candlestick, there is a table of showbread, and an altar of incense. Now, how do you see to minister in that room, Brother Bill? How do you see to minister? What gives you light in that room? The candlestick. And it talks about six of them. There's seven branches on that thing. The six branches that it keeps talking about are what? The number of man. God became flesh, John 1:14. You've got to get it down. It's just got to be indelibly in there. You've got to understand this. Six stands for man. Seven stands for what? Perfection. Perfection. Jesus was perfect man, just like Adam was. We have a first Adam, Adam, all right, in the Old Testament. We call him Adam, don't we? That's the name for mankind or man, Adam. And the root of Adam is what? Dom. Dom is what? It means red. Edom was called, Esau was called Edom, and his name was Red. That was his nickname, Red. Okay? Evidently, he had red hair. Okay? Well, Dom, the root of that is blood. If you take blood and chemically figure it out, basically you're going to see everything that's in the dirt. If you break your body down chemically, you're going to see everything that's in the dirt. The earth. All right? Made out of the same thing. We're related to the earth. And God became related to the earth so He could redeem it back. Don't forget what John 3:16 says. We read it so many times and we forget because we're thinking about, for God so loved what? The whole cosmos, that He gave His only begotten Son, so that the Son would do what? The whole book of Ruth is about what? Redemption, the kinsman redeemer. God had to be related to this earth to redeem it back to Himself. Now, Jehovah's Witness, they don't have any hope in that, do they? Because God is not related to the universe. He's not related to the dirt. He's not related to man. He sent, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that God sent an angel. His name was Michael. Michael couldn't redeem anything. Michael can't do it. God's plan was that God Himself would redeem mankind. Could Gabriel redeem you? Michael couldn't redeem you.
Which of his angels did he ever
send? Yeah, which of his angels did he send? None. Mm-hmm. He sent the Son. The Ben. Ben. Am I right? The Ben? Ben? Mm-hmm. All right. You know that, what does it, you know what that means? What does Ben mean? Benjamin. It means according to a pattern. That's what it literally means. According to a pattern. Now, Brother Randall. Yeah. Here. If you ever get married, I'm not wishing this on you. But if you ever had a child, it would be that child would be according to a pattern. Wouldn't it? You'd have a mama and you would have a daddy, and that child would come out according to a pattern. When God created the first mankind, when He created the first man, He did it according to a pattern. And if you go back and you study the Gospels, you'll find out, and it says, so-and-so begets in Hebrew it's with Av. He begets this one, he begets that one. All right? And then it goes back, and then who begat Adam?
God.
All right. God begat Adam. God brought forth Adam. According to a pattern. What pattern was that in Genesis?
Yes.
According to His shadow-casting likeness. According to His blood-flowing likeness. Again, Dom, blood. It's very important that we get the idea down that God made man according to a pattern, the pattern of Himself. When you bring forth a child, when Adam and Eve brought forth a child, they said, we have gotten a man, even the Lord. Is that what it says in that book there? We have in Genesis 4 and 1. Read that. That's the Sacred Name Bible. Genesis 4 and 1.
Now the man having come to know Eve, his wife, she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah.
I've gotten a man, even Job, but they thought the Messiah was born. But what they had was a man according to the pattern. When Jesus was born into this world, in a child, in the development of a child, not one drop of the woman's blood goes into the child. Not unless she's shot with an arrow or something where her blood mixes with the child while he's in her womb. The blood comes from the man. The blood comes from man. As in Adam, all do what? All die. But as in the second Adam, all do what? Live. Okay? Now, here we have the Messiah. Mary is a... God could have chosen any woman in the world. Okay? Any woman. He just chose Mary. Okay? She wasn't something that came out of heaven and came here like the Catholic Church says. She had a... What they talk about Immaculate Conception and what that's talking about there is not the same thing at all. Okay? Mary was engaged to Joseph. Okay? They hadn't consummated the marriage yet. She was a virgin. Okay? Now, the seed of in the book of Enoch, every time it talks about the Messiah, it doesn't talk about the seed of man. It talks about the what? The seed of the woman. The woman gives the child form and human life. Okay? The man puts the blood into the child. That's scientifically, medically accurate. Okay? Where did Jesus' blood come from? God. And it was the perfect blood that Adam had in the beginning, because where did Adam come from? God. And then he chose the sin. The second Adam, the God of heaven, that blood was perfect blood. It was sinless blood. He was capable of sinning, wasn't he? Because he was in the human body, just like Adam, but he chose not to. He passed all the tests, Brother Bill.
Something just hit me like a wham upside the head, what you just said. Because Adam, the blood come from God straight to Adam, and the blood comes from God straight to Jesus. Both of them had pure blood that was God's blood until Adam tainted his with the tree.
That's right.
Both of them were the same blood, the same purity.
Yes.
Until Adam tainted it.
That's right. God showed us that it could be done. But He did it. Now, who saves you? Who saves you?
Jesus.
God does. Is there any part of that salvation that comes out of you?
No.
None of it comes from you. The wooing of the Spirit comes from God. The salvation comes from God. The granting of the repentance comes from God. All of it comes from God. That's where it comes from. Now, according to every cult, what do you have to do to get to heaven?
Work.
Our salvation doesn't come from us. We work because we are saved. Okay? We work because we're saved. Not to get that way. We work because. James says, show me your works by your faith. I'll show you my faith by your works. Show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works, by what I do. Yeah, that's how we show our faith, is by what we do. But that also, where does that initiative come from? That comes from God too. What makes you want to? What fixes your want to? God. Everything. Brother Jim. Or did you? No.
It's will and to do of His good pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it clicking?
Not quite yet.
Almost. It's nearly there. Let's go on about this candlestick. It was beaten out of a talent of pure gold. Basically, it was somewhere around 90 pounds of gold. Now, it has down here in this thing that it was worth $25,000 to $30,000. Those are 1947 prices. Okay? Today, it's worth about $1.2 million or something like that. This is a lot. You know, if it was about $800 an ounce, sometimes it's above $800 an ounce, okay? By the way, how much is a pound of gold? Huh?
16 ounces.
How much?
No.
Who said 12? 12 ounces.
There's something different about the
There's something different about
ounces.
There's something different about it, okay?
Ounces.
Yeah. All right. Okay. It is about 88 to 94 pounds, something like that. I put down here 93 pounds.
Where you hiding all that gold, brother? You seem to know a lot about that.
I don't have much gold except in my mouth. On my watch. A little bit. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. It was beaten out of pure gold. What does gold stand for in the Bible?
Deity.
It was beaten. What is malleable? Marilyn, are you here? Okay, do you have a ring that I made? Is it on your hand? Would you hold your hand up so everybody can see that ring? That's silver. That was made out of a quarter. I took a quarter and knocked a hole in it and put it on a, what they call a pin wrench. And I took a little hammer and I rolled that thing around and pecked on it until I made that deal, that ring for her. Silver and gold are malleable metals. Malleable metals. That means that you can beat and form it. Okay? You can beat and form it. Okay? Malleable metals. It's something that you can beat and it just keep on forming it. Now, we studied about the golden calf. What was the base of the golden calf that, by the way, Aaron made that calf. I mean, he just said, I threw the gold in the fire and out it came. But that isn't what happened.
Nobody was buying that one.
I don't think Moses quite bit, did he?
No.
He was responsible. Well, it had a a wooden base, and they had beaten, he was a goldsmith, by the way, Aaron was a goldsmith, and he beat this gold and beat it out malleably and covered this calf with a golden cover, okay? A golden cover. And that's what it was, and that's why they burned it, and then they crushed it up and made them drink it. Mm-hmm. All right? That's where it all came from, okay? But silver and gold are malleable. It's something that you can beat. You can melt gold out of whatever. You can refine it, tort it. You know, they take mercury and gold together, and it's an amalgamate, and then they evaporate off the mercury, and then you have the pure gold there, yes.
You know, I used to work with metal. You know, the easy way to have done it, because there's so much detail there, would have been to cast it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I think there's some topology there. Mm-hmm. You know, the God wanted it beaten.
He wanted it beaten.
Just like, you know, he wanted that rock smitten once.
Uh-huh. The rock in the wilderness. By the way, it said that rock followed Israel all through the wilderness.
Right.
The rock followed them.
Where do you find that at?
Where it followed him? We'll go into that later. Okay. But Paul quotes it in the New Testament. He said the rock followed them through the wilderness. A lot of people said that rock go around with them. Who was the rock, by the way?
Jesus
was the rock. Did Jesus follow them through all through the wilderness? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The rock of Israel is whom?
God.
Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Jehovah is the rock of Israel. Okay? He is the rock of Israel. And that rock followed them through the wilderness. The first time God told Aaron and Moses to do what to the rock?
Strike it.
Now just think about this for a while. They struck the rock the first time. When Jesus in his first coming, was he stricken down? The next time, this is very important,
mm-hmm.
The very next time he told him to speak to the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses got mad, and what did he do? He hit the rock, and that's what caused him not go into the promised land. Because
mm-hmm.
he was disobedient. What did the second time stand for? The return of the Lord in glory, not stricken, not the lamb of sacrifice, but the great warrior, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. All right? So that's why that was so important, okay, the second time. Now let's go on.
I don't understand about the rock following them. Was that representing Jesus following them?
That was representing Jesus following them. Paul said the rock followed them all through the wilderness. I have no problem with the rock rolling around and following them, if God said that. But who was the rock? It was Jesus. He was Jehovah. Jehovah is, all in the Old Testament, it said that Jesus was the rock. Okay? And the rock was smitten the first time. The rock was supposed to be spoken to the second time. Okay? Did you have something over here? No. Yes.
Was it literally a rock that followed them through?
It was literally Christ, Jehovah
the
rock. It could have.
Oh, okay.
The rock could have followed them, but it's talking about the glory of God. The Shekinah glory, which is Jesus, Jehovah, he led them
mm-hmm.
all through the wilderness.
Okay, but you said they actually the rock?
Yes, they did.
A rock?
The rock was there. It was really a rock. Moses struck the rock, and water came out of the rock. And God and water was provided in that wilderness where there was no water. Okay? And the same person that the rock represented followed them throughout all the witness. That rock could have followed them. I have no problem with that, but I believe it was Jesus. Because they came to another rock, and they were supposed to do what to it?
Speak to it.
So I doubt very seriously if the rock itself followed them, even though Paul uses it as a figure of speech, because the rock stood for Jesus. All right. Who did the bread stand for in the manna? The what is it? Who did that stand for?
Jesus.
All right. Brother Floyd.
Did this happen before Christ was born?
Yes.
Or after his death?
Before. This happened in the Old Testament. All of this happened back during here. During this, after the Egyptian bondage, right here is when all, this is where the wilderness journey was, okay? Right in there. Now let's go on a little bit. I didn't want to get you too far off the beam. There's some really jewels in there in some places, all right? Some real jewels in there. It was beaten out of a talon of pure gold, and it had a base and a central stem. There were three stems on each side and a total of seven stems. Seven is what? Three and three is what?
Man.
Seven is what? Jesus was man, but he was God. Now, if you're one of Armstrong's bunch, if you're one of Charles Russell's bunch, you're going to have real problems with this typology here. Because you can't even study it, because it's teaching that God became flesh, okay? Three branches were ornamented with buds and blossoms and almonds. It was a little almond tree, is what it was. All right? Almonds are what?
They're a type of resurrection.
Type of the resurrection. Because the almond tree is the first tree in the spring to wake up, come to life. All right? It's the first tree to wake up in the spring and come to life. It's the very first one. And it said it's a lampstand, not a candlestick. A lampstand. A candlestick is a lamp with candles in it. We call this a candlestick, but it really wasn't a candlestick. It's a lampstand. What it has seven branches, three on each side and one in the middle. Okay? And they're filled with olive oil. And then they have wicks in there, like you have a wick in a kerosene lamp. And they drop the wick in there, in the olive oil, and they light the wick, and the wick is what burns. Okay? That's how this is. It's not a candle. It doesn't have candles in it. It has wick and oil in it. All right? These olive branches. And by the way, what was that rod of Aaron's made out of? It was made out of wood, but it was an almond tree. It was a branch from an almond tree. That's what, if you want to know what Aaron's rod was, and basically that's Moses' rod also. Okay? And these rods were carried around for years, but this was absolutely an almond branch or limb. Okay? Now, thank you. Now it did. That thing clicks, it won't. Yes, Brother Rex.
What was the purpose of Aaron's rod? But
it typified what?
I don't know.
The resurrection. Number one thing. The resurrection of whom? Of Jesus. But it also was to show them that this was the promised leader of Israel. This is the promised leader. He threw it out there and said, throw your rods out there. Throw his rod out there. Which one of them showed the resurrection and the power of God? Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod.
And that part of the rebellion
of Korah.
Korah.
Yeah, Korah. They did not want to change from the patriarchal system to the Levitical system, did they? They didn't want to change. When Jesus came, they didn't want to change from the Levitical system to the one high priest, did they? And the new priesthood that we live in today. They didn't want to change. They're still arguing, fighting about that, aren't they? Israel is. They still won't accept it. All right, we're almost to the end. Let's go on a little further. The person of the Lord. Gold is
deity.
The divine nature is emphasized. He is the true light. All right, he is the true light. If he were not God, there wouldn't be any light in the world. If he wasn't God, if Jesus wasn't God, there wouldn't be any light in the world. We saw in Genesis 1 and verse 2 a while ago, we saw and said, God says, let light become, and became light. In John the 3rd chapter, let's go look in John the 3rd chapter. Read verse 16 first. Everybody probably, well, maybe everybody knows that by memory. All right. But then let's go down to 17, 18, and 19, and let's see what the rest of that says, because we have the person of Jesus Christ being portrayed in this candlestick. Okay? We need to understand that. John 8 and 12 is another one. But go to John 3:16. Okay, Randall, are you there?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
Uh-huh.
He who believes in him is not judged. He who does
not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the
world. The light has come into the world. The candlestick portrayed the person of Jesus Christ. He was the light. When God said there in Genesis, "Let light become," it was Jesus that did it. And it was even the light in the universe is the person, portrays the person of God. Okay, go ahead, Brother Randall.
And men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed.
All right, when you look into the mirror of God's Word, what do you see? You see your face. You see a filthy guy, a filthy girl. You see humanity. You see the Adamic nature. In New Testament, the Adamic nature is basically the kakos, is what it uses. The Adamic nature. It's bad things. That's what we are. But when God saves us, He looks at us in His mirror, and He sees the person of Jesus Christ that has covered our sins. That's beautiful when He sees us in the light. When Jesus sees you, Brother Rex, He sees His Son, because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're covered. You're covered. He sees the blood. When who passed over Israel? Jehovah. The death angel didn't do it. We hear that so much, so many times. The death angel did not pass over Israel. Or Egypt, that is. Jehovah passed over Egypt. And when he saw the blood, what happened? He passed over. He passed over that house. If he didn't see the blood, he visited the house with death. Alright? And it's the same thing as today. If you haven't been saved, when it comes time for you to visit God, and you don't have the blood, it is eternal death. Eternal hell. Alright? Going just a tiny bit further. Alright? The work of the Lord, and that's where we're going to stop right there. The work of the Lord. The oil, the Holy Spirit. Is this the third?
Yes.
Oh, and the fifth month already. Thank you for your attention today. I hope you learned something from God's Word. I hope you maybe refreshed your mind. Thank you for your comments and your questions also. I can't get to every one of them all the time. I used to. If you asked me something where this is found in the Bible, I could tell you. Verse. Now I got to go look it up because my brain don't. I'm not like a dictionary anymore. I used to could do that. Sister Andina, you remember when I could do it. I can't do it anymore. That's what we get with age and a couple of strokes. But we'll look it up. And I'll find that one for you, Brother Rex. Brother David, do you want to come up here and take over? Please remember Dakota in your prayers. He is homesick today. And pray for her.
She's got a sore throat.